See, we're more precious than those angels. We're God's children, sons and daughters. Amen? Amen. That's a good place to shout right there. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. See, all these songs that we worship this morning, I look at those songs now. When I sung them in church years ago, I wasn't born again. I wasn't saved. They were just words. But now, when I read them, they're Jesus. Yes. They're God to me. When I'm singing those songs, that's the Word of God. See, once you get born again and come into the kingdom, things change. Your priorities change. Your life changes. If you're truly born again, you don't see darkness anymore. You see light. You see light. You see life. See, Jesus is the light of the world. He brought life into everything that came into this earth came through Jesus. He is the Word. Amen. And that is the light, the life of men. Amen. Amen? Amen. Jesus, that's all He has is life and light. I can't remember if it's last week or week before, but the Lord gave me a message about it's your time. It's your time. Because my day is kind of running together here around Christmas and work and everything that Reeve was talking about and Lewis talking about. You can get so busy out here, but we got to find that time to worship. You know, it ain't just, like you say, about sitting down and reading the Word. Once you get read the Word, it's in you. You got to remind yourself and meditate on it. But the Lord spoke to me about, I don't know, maybe a couple months ago as I'm out here working, I seen a billboard. There's another name for a billboard, you can call it. It's called a sign. Billboard sign or sign. That sign said, it's your time. And it was a housing development. All these new houses being erected, being built. And then I didn't pay no attention to what it said after that. But when I seen it's your time, God spoke to me. I said, it's my time. The Lord's called me to minister and teach His people faith and to go out and do it too. He's called me to go out. Pastor, teacher. Pastor, teacher, to go out and teach. And He says, it's your time. Now, what am I going to do? I'm going to agree with Him. Amen? Because He knows the right time. God knows the right time. Amen? Amen. That's how that came. There's laws in the kingdom. Genesis. Seed, time, and harvest. That's the first principles of the kingdom. That's the kingdom of God. Laws of the kingdom. What's in there? Seed, time, harvest. When I saw that billboard, that was a sign. So you got the seed. The seed is the promise. That's also the vision, if you're making notes. Your seed is the promise. It's the promise of God, wherever it may be. That when you see it and hear it, that's your vision. That's the vision. That's what you're going toward now. That's your goal. The time, we don't like to hear this. It's the process. Amen. I remember being a kid, mom and daddy wasn't much, but, you know, he knew how to do some things. You know, you raised your chickens, you raised your pigs, and then you brought them in the kitchen, you cut them up, and you ran them through a meat grinder, processing that meat. Didn't look good, didn't smell good, but it tasted good when it was fried up, when it was good. Amen? I remember opening that old refrigerator. It was the one that didn't have a heater in there to defrost it. It was a self-defrost. You do it yourself. I'd open that thing up there, be that big old pig head sitting in the bucket. Y'all know what time it is. It's liver mush time coming up. It was good. I like liver mush. Hey, to each his own. Remember, in the Bible now, we got grace. Anything we eat, if we sanctify it by the Word of God, set it apart, it blesses us. Amen? Amen? In moderation. Make sure you don't eat too much of that at one time. Hey, I told you now, this is a Word of Faith church. We preach grace and truth here. We're free. Amen. We're not under legalism. We're under grace. But that was a sign. That billboard was a sign. See, God's put some promises in me. And then this was a sign. This is a sign in this day. A virgin shall conceive and give birth. That was a sign that Jesus was coming to those that had heard. Come on now, not everybody heard. Not everybody took time to read or to listen. Back then they read the Word to you. Mom and Daddy read the Word. Had it in their heart. There's a lot of people getting killed. Christians, they can't have Bibles. They won't bring them into the country, but they're doing it illegally. That's good. Getting it in there. You find them, you get killed. But they're putting it in their heart and they're going out and telling people. Galatians 4:4-6 is where that comes from. when I seen that sign, I started thinking about Jesus. It says, when the fullness, Galatians 4, 4 and 6, this is a summary of issue of time. When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son. Made of a woman, God sent forth his son, sign. Made of a woman, virgin, Mary, sign. Under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. Put your hand up, that was me and you. All those after Adam, including Adam, because he's under the law too. That we might receive the adoption of sons, and because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit, Holy Spirit, into your hearts, crying, Abba Father, Daddy God. Once you get born again, nobody can pluck you out of the Father's hands. Jesus said the same thing in one prayer he prayed on this earth before he left. He said, I pray that me and the Father, we are one, and you be one. We all be one. Just kind of paraphrasing, that we all be one. And when he prayed that, he sealed it with his blood and with the covenant, and the devil ain't got no part of it. Only person that can stop it is you. I can't stop it from you, only you. Amen? That's your free will, your free choice. The New International Version translates this phrase as, when the time had fully come. See, women, you can understand this. Men, we got projects too. A woman, when a woman conceives and is carrying a child, she don't want that child to come premature. She wants it to be the full gestation period. And when that child is ready, she's wanting it out. It's time. Get her out. Ready, it's time. That's a good thing. Those birth pains, mama don't like pain. I don't like pain either, but these are birth pains men don't know nothing about. And when they start, it's time to get the process over with. It's time for the crying baby to come in. But you don't want that baby before it's time. See, and that's where when God says it's your time, don't get ahead of him. Walk right with him through the word, through the promises. But when that time, the God's word translation says, but when the right time came, there he was. He was conceived and then he was born at the fullness of time. When all those prophecies that were spoken in the Old Testament by the prophets and by all God's people speaking it by prophecy, Daniel, Isaiah, amen, Zacharias, all these prophets, when they were fulfilled, Jesus was born just at the right time. And also that word fullness, it literally means the maximum of complete size, the fullness. Jesus was the Godhead bodily, in a body. All the Godhead in him was placed in him back on the earth. That's power. That's power. Amen. That's more Mike Tyson's got. Mike Tyson's got a punch, a knockout punch, but not when he stands against Jesus. Jesus don't have to raise his hand. All he's got to do is speak his word. Amen. He just got to speak the word. I'm just saying that Jesus ain't against nobody. You know what I mean? But he's against the devil. He come and destroyed the works of the devil with his word. It is written. It is written. It is written. So that was the timeline of Jesus coming. It's your time. That's what the Lord spoke to me. And then I briefly told you about my timeline. I talked about King David, how that when he was anointed, it was years, 15 years later, before he sat in the office of the king. But there was a process he went through. Amen. I was born again 20 years ago, 1998. I knew God had called me to minister his word. I didn't know much, but I knew that. Amen. Pastor Lewis told us, once you get born again, you are called to minister. God will qualify you. He'll equip you. It's all on the inside. You ain't got to go nowhere. I mean, you do got to go to a church, but I'm saying you ain't got to know all these, go to Bible school, go to Life Christian University to preach the word. You just got to have the word in you and let it out. Amen? Because it all works by love. So I was ordained into the ministry. My pastor, Dr. Jim Howard, laid hands on me in 2008, placed me into the ministry. 1998, 2008, I got hands laid on. So in 2013 here, I stepped into the office of the pastor. That was 15 years. Time. 15 years. I was right there with King David. When I was called, I've been born again about 20 years. I heard the call, but then there was a process. Amen. I heard the call. There's the vision. There's the promise. But there was a process. I got underneath a pastor, and I learned, and I listened, and I watched, and I served. Everybody here in this church is serving. You're doing something. You might not be up here, but you are. God's no respecter of person. He's a respecter of faith. If you just do what he's called you to do, he counts you faithful. And he's got rewards when he comes back to get the church out of here. He's bringing his rewards with him. You know, we think about Christmas. We think about Santa Claus and his sack. Jesus has got one bigger than that. Amen. Now, the Santa Claus is a story. The Saint Nick is a good story. It's a man that wants to help people that don't have nothing. But Jesus is greater than Santa. Amen. If it was no Jesus, there would be no Santa Claus story. Because there wouldn't be nothing good here. Amen. Because Jesus is God. He is good. Amen. I heard Santa Claus story growing up, but I told my kids different. I told them the truth. Not against. Don't throw things at me now. No, why? Because I was just in the mall yesterday, and I was watching all those kids sitting on Santa's lap. A lot of them were crying. Man, you 2-3 years old, and somebody go sit you on a stranger, and he's big, and he's got a big, I ain't going to say big belly, but he's got a belly, got a red suit on, and got white hair, and he don't know him. They start crying. I had my babies cried. We had to have the picture, though. Had to get that picture. I don't care. Put him up there. We got to have his picture. Fifteen years before the Lord placed me, set me. So you got to let God do it. Placed me in that office. And recently he told me, now it's your time. So there's some other things he's working out. Amen? Part two. If I had to put a title on pretty much a series there, the first one would be the promise. It's your time. Before it's your time, there was a promise. There was a vision. There was the call. I answered it. I got born again. That's the first step of leading the abundant life. The blessed life is coming to Jesus and getting born again. And that you have to hear the word of God to get born again. You have to hear God's anointed word to be born again, to have faith to be born again. And I did that. And then whatever's on the inside, got to bring it out. He'll bring it up to you. Not everybody's called into fivefold ministry, but everybody's called to minister, to tell people about Jesus, what he's done in your life. So I want to show you two places. And see, we got food over here cooking, so I'm not going to get in a hurry this morning. Because, see, I'm not going to be thinking about you guys having to wait in line at the K&W. Because I got a line. We're going to have a line over here at Word of Faith. WF, Word of Faith. So I get to. We're going to hear what God wants to hear. Amen.
Amen.
I'm not going to wear you out. I'm going to fill you up, give you the word, give you a promise, give you hope, give you life. Amen. And give you some, a boost. You might need a spiritual boost this morning. Because there's a lot of things at Christmas time people drop into depression. You know, we've had loved ones that's went on. It was their time. It was their time. But now it's our time to have hope. If we're still here, see, we can make an impact here in the earth. There's others that needs to hear. Because once we leave, our influence in the earth is gone. Because we don't have our body anymore. And we don't have that tongue that Pastor talked about. So we got to make that choice down here, and then we got to let other people know so they can hear and make the choice. Because we want them to see them forever in heaven in glory. And not separated from God, but separated to God. Amen. That's the Christmas story. I need to share this, I think, before I go on. Part two. It's your time. I seen my wife drawing something. Coming to our front door, there's a mirror right there on the right. So if you leave, it's on the left. So I'm in there at the kitchen table preparing the message, and I see her kind of out of the corner of my eye, and I look, and she's writing something. I said, what's she doing? There's a mirror there. So I just kind of brushed it off. I went about my business. But last night I looked, and I saw what she was doing in the mirror. I wasn't looking at me. I was looking in the mirror. And my wife's got talent. Amen? She can write. You don't want to see my writing. Unless I would go real slow and cursive, because mine looks like chicken scratch. But hers looks like these things you would see on Hallmark cards. I think I need to prophesy to her about, you know, you put your initials on him. Somebody will pay for this handwriting. But she's got Merry Christmas in red. Right in the middle, she's got Joy. J-O-Y. Capital J, red. The zeros in green and the Y's in red. And over here, she's got, I have to zoom in a little bit. Remember, it's his birthday. And she's got a nice little Christmas gift. And she's got mistletoe, a little leaf in red. Y'all had to see this. But then she says, give Jesus the best Christmas present for his birthday, yourself. She's got a big bow and a gift there. But give Jesus the best birthday gift. Give him yourself. That's the best gift you can give back to Jesus as you. That's why he came, is for you, for me. So, and then happy birthday. That's going to be on there for our Christmas. She'll probably have us all staring, looking at ourselves in the mirror, telling Jesus happy birthday, because we always keep him first place. And we will be here Christmas Day from about 10:30. We have a short service, a communion service. We'll be here if you want to come. We'll have regular service next Sunday, but Christmas Day we'll be here. That'll be Tuesday from about 10 to 10:30, and then we'll let you get home with our families. But we do want to take that time just to tell Jesus happy birthday here. You don't have to spend a lot of time to get his attention. Amen. He just wants you to just know that you're thinking about him. I want to show you two places in the Word of God which demonstrates the character and the nature of our Father in heaven. Just two places today. And there's many places in the Bible, but I just picked two for you. Part two, two places. Two people. Let's go to Romans. It's kind of funny. I wrote this down. You find your corrections when you start trying to put tabs in your Bible. I put Romans 41. There ain't no 41 chapters in the book of Romans. It's Romans 4. I tell you, Paul, he could write a few more chapters, though. You give him a pen. Amen. The story's still going on. Paul's story is going on through you, me and you. Amen. We're still writing those stories. But Romans chapter 4, verses 13 through 25. We're going to be talking about Abraham. Abraham, father of faith. It says, for the promise that he would be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. It wasn't through those Ten Commandments I remember seeing on the wall. It was through the righteousness of faith that Abraham believed God. For if those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made void and promise of no effect. In other words, if you're trying to get to heaven by what you do, all your good works, you're throwing faith of righteousness that Jesus gave you. You're saying anywhere that it ain't enough. Don't do that. Because the law brings about wrath. For where there's no law, there's no transgression. The law was there to let you know what you're doing is wrong. It was there to bring that sin alive. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace. Remember, Jesus was under the law, but he was full of grace. So he was still in the Old Testament. He was in that Old Testament, but he was full of grace. He had something great on the inside of him. It's the law of love. The promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham. It's talking about the law, talking about the Jews, but also Abraham, we're talking about the Gentiles. When Abraham believed, he believed for me because I wasn't a Jew. But Abraham is the father of us all. It's talking about the father of faith because it takes faith to please God. Amen. Not the law. It's not by works that you're saved. It's by grace through faith. Amen. You're not going to get out here without hearing something about faith. You come to this church, you're going to hear something about faith. Amen. It's a part of your DNA if you're born again. Amen. You can't get rid of it. As it is written, I have made you. God made Abraham who he was. I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life, say life.
Life.
He gives life to the dead and calls those things that be not as though they did. Yes. who contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations. According to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. How long did I say? 25. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body. Now, his own body already dead. I think somebody was preaching about Abraham this morning, wasn't you, Lewis? Since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb, when she was about, what, 90? She's about 10 years younger. He did not waver at the promise of God through what? Unbelief. That's where we waver, is when we get into unbelief. He didn't waver at that. He didn't consider all these circumstances because he was looking for an heir. But he was strengthened how? In faith. How does faith come? By hearing the word of God. That's where your strength comes from. That's why we come to church, even though you're going through some sad times, bad times, or if you're in the top of your mountain and going through the good times, come here and give it to somebody else. Amen. But even if you're going through a bad time, come here, because that's when you'll find your good time. It's the body of Christ. It's the family. When one's weak, the other one's. Jesus, when somebody's mourning, we mourn with you, but then we get you out of that. Amen? We start thinking about Jesus, fellowship. He did not waver, Abraham didn't, at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. And being convinced or being fully persuaded at what God had promised, he was also able to perform. And therefore, it was accounted to him for righteousness. So when you believe what Jesus did, and he did it for you, God counts you righteous. Amen? And he gives you everything. You're accountable. All the goodness that God has is your. It's on your shelf. Amen. Now, it was not written for the sake alone, for his sake alone, Abraham's sake alone, that it was imputed alone that it was imputed to him, but also for us, it shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses, and was raised because of our justification. Justified, justified, never sinned. When Jesus rose, it was just, he wiped out the handwritten on the wall. See, the handwritten was the law. Do this, do that. Jesus wiped it out and said, but you got a part to play. You got to believe that Jesus erased your sin that separated you from God. Amen? And took it as far away as the east is from the west. And now, only thing he sees when he sees us, if you're born again, he sees Jesus. And he counts us worthy, righteous. Not my righteousness, God's righteousness through Jesus, through faith. That's just one. It's your time. Amen. God has given us a sign. He sent Jesus. He was born. And when I got Jesus, I got born again. Amen. I was born. Jesus didn't have to be born again. He was the last Adam. Amen. God had to get us born again. So he had to get Jesus in the earth. God had to get back into man, get back into our place. Amen? His place here on the earth. Abraham was one of our greatest examples of how we are to take what God has said about us, and no matter what the circumstances are saying, God is able to bring it to pass. So you got to bring it into your house. Amen? It was 25 years after God called Abraham and said, I'm going to make you a father of many nations. I didn't put that scripture reference. I think I got it here. It's Genesis 17, I believe. 25 years after God called Abraham and told him the promise before Isaac was born. The time in between that, God had to get Abraham and Sarah to change what they were believing and what they were saying and what they were seeing. He had to give them saying something. How did he do that? We know by he gave them a new name. No longer shall you be called Abram, you'll be called Abraham. You've got to call yourself the father of a multitude. And Sarah's the mother. She's going to give life to this father of a multitude. She's going to be the process through Adam, through Abraham and Sarah. Genesis 17:5 in the ASV. I thought that was King James. I don't know what ASV stands for. Amplified. Anyway, it's a good word. I wouldn't give it to you if it wasn't good. Amen. Genesis 17:5 says, neither shall thy name anymore be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham. For the father of a multitude of nations, I made you. I made you. Amen. God, the Father, created. He's your creator. Amen. Not the government. Not your environment, your social status. That's not who you are. If you're born again, you're God's creation. You're God's children. Now, I love our president. I mean, I respect the office, but there's sometimes, you know, you say things, we are all God's children. That's not true. Not everybody's in this family. The way you get into families, you come through Jesus. He says he's not the way. He's not a way. He's the way. He's the only way to the Father. And then once you come through Jesus, through the Father, now you're in the family. Then you're God's children. Because I didn't used to be God's children. I was a rebellious. I was a father. My father was the devil. And I understand what he's saying, but you got to watch. You can get people confused. You're thinking, well, all this bad stuff, but I'm still God's kid. No, you got to come to Jesus. You got to come to the cross. Amen. Billy Graham and Franklin Graham would be a good time. They would just step in here and tell you about that cross. Amen. That's what their whole life they've preached is the cross of Christ. Man, that's where it all took place. That took us back to the garden on that tree. Jesus, he hung on that tree. And he didn't say, has God said. He shut his mouth because he knew what God said. Mm-hmm. He knew his Father. He'd done the work and he said, it's finished. That's all I got to say. Because I showed you my Father. I did miracles. I did signs. I did wonders. Now it's up to you. It's finished. And he hung there. And he didn't die. He gave up the ghost. Because he had committed no sin. But he became sin. So that we could become the righteous of God in him. How do you do that? By faith. Amen. And then you inherit. You are a heir. A joint heir with Christ. Man, you in the king's house then. It's time to get out of the cellar. Come on, fellas. It's time to get out of the cellar. It's dark in that cellar. Come on up where the light is. Because where there's light, things grow. Amen. Come on. Leo, we need to get in. We need to stay in the sun a little bit longer. Grow, baby. Grow. Come on here. Grow. Now, the sun ain't got nothing to do with it. There's a process that's happened over time, but it's coming back, ain't it, Leo? Ours is coming back. Samson ain't going to have nothing on us one day when Jesus, when we get our new bodies. Amen. I'm getting my hair back. Praise the Lord. That's our covering, man. That's our covering. It's a woman, her hair is her covering. The husband, he's the head. He's the covering. But still, I like hair. Ruthie gave us a little bit about hair. I'm not going to talk about it up here. But she gave me some revelation about our body and how it works. And when we ain't feeding our body right, it's trying to survive. Well, without Jesus, I was just trying to survive. But I needed some life. I needed some light in me. And I thank God that he came. And the war, that war between God and mankind is over. That between God and man. Jesus didn't say, there's still a battle raging, and it's man against man. It's against the God man and the dead man out there, Satan's man. That's where the battle's still going because I'm a Christian now. That war, Jesus satisfied God. That wrath was taken on him. That war is over. Now the fight we fight is a fight of faith. Is knowing who we are in Christ. Amen? Amen. It's your time. Don't wait around. Get out of that cellar. Get up in where there's light. Amen. Don't let them old sisters or brothers lie to you anymore. I think about Cinderella. Stay home when it's your time to be at the Father's house. It's your time to be at the nice place, at the nice places, doing good work, doing the Father's business. Come on up to the big house. Daddy's got big houses for us. Amen. Now, if you like a little house, that's okay, but you should have little houses. Because if you got, you know, you got one here and one at the beach, and then you can bless somebody else with it. I got a pastor that blesses me with a week at the beach, at his place. Amen. That's a blessing. Where did it start? I answered the call and got underneath a pastor. I didn't ask for a place at the beach. It was given to me. But how did it come? I served him, and he blessed me. Amen. And that's a blessing. That he is really a dad to me. My father was an alcoholic, and you know, we didn't go nowhere. We didn't go on vacations. We was under the law. We was under sin. We was not even allowed to go see my mama's parents. But see, God changed all that, and he put some fathers across my path that had some places that I never got to go. Amen. And now he just opened up that door, blessing. Amen. I'm going to do the same thing for some other people. See, because freely you have received, Jesus said, freely give. Amen? Let the blessings flow. Let it flow. That ain't in the notes. That's in the message. Amen. Because God always give you more to say. So we determine that time from when God says to, there it is. There's that suddenly. We determine. There was 120 people on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Ghost, the power fell. There could have been more. I believe there was room for more. Amen. But other people decided, they heard. Jesus said, wait, tarry in Jerusalem. And they were tarrying. They wasn't just sitting there. They were praying and they were waiting for the promise that Jesus said would come. And there wasn't but 120. 3.5 years, I know Jesus, he had crowds. There was multitudes. Look at the small percentage that showed up and wanted, believed in that promise. Look at all the churches around this world, around the world. Sunday night, Sunday football game comes on. See how the stadiums fill up, but go back a couple hours, how were the churches filled up? I used to be one of those, man. Who's going to church? I'm staying home watching the ball game. It starts at 1 o'clock. But see, there's something greater. Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart be also. Amen. See, my treasure's not in that anymore. Now, I still love a good football game. Well, yeah, I'm still a Cowboy. I'll be a Cowboy. There's Cowboys in heaven. I'm gonna play football when I get to heaven. I get my body back. Mike, I think Mike's going to be on my team. So I'm a linebacker. I never was a quarterback, don't desire. See, that's what God gifted Troy Aikman. Troy Aikman, he's a good one. Roger Staubach, I'm lifting up the Cowboys. See, I'm talking today. This is my story. I know there's some Redskins out there and there's some, I can't remember those other teams. I just remember the Cowboys. Gotta love me. Roger Staubach had his time. Troy Aikman had his time. Tom Landry had his time. But then again, it comes to, now it's your time. If I'd go to the Cowboys, I'd go to Jason Garrett. Jason, now it's your time. Coach, everything that you've learned, that your coach has taught you, now we're getting into the gospel. Jesus said, go make disciples. But faith, Jesus was preaching faith. And if you're hungry, God says, if you're hungry and come, you'll find food. If you're thirsty, come, you'll get water. And it won't be natural water, it'll be a spiritual drink. You'll get it. If you've got ears to hear, you will hear what God's saying, and you won't be satisfied with nothing else. See, that's where you got to know where to go into church and where to go where God's called you. And a job is just a job if you're just getting a paycheck. I want to be doing what God's called me to do, and the money won't even matter, but God will bless you. The money will come in, but it'll be a place to where, man, I enjoy going here. I enjoy preaching and teaching God's word. Amen? Amen? And God, that's how you'll know where to go. It'll be like, I know there's some banana pudding over there, maybe. I knew it was there at Thanksgiving. I've tasted it. I like it. I don't know about anybody else's pudding. I go to different pudding. You know what I mean? I know Thanksgiving, there's pudding over here, but if I want to taste it, I got to be here to get it. Amen. And wherever God's called you to go, there's a calling there. There's a specific place, and it's going to change. Sometimes those seasons will change. I'm not telling you to leave this church. I'm saying things in your life, there'll be job changes, career changes, relationship changes. Go where God tells you to go. Stay where He tells you to stay. Grow where He tells you to grow, and then go where He tells you to go. Amen. Because He's got so much He needs us to do. And you'll know it's your time if you're in the Word and following Jesus. Wait a minute, I'm trying to flip that page. Let's see. I done that side. I didn't finish that side. Man, I didn't put too much on here for us today. Praise the Lord. Look at all that empty space, Lord. White. White's good around Christmas, ain't it? Red, white. I got a little bit more black on here. And then there's a lot of red Jesus is going to fill in with. Amen. In your Bible, there's some red and there's some black, right? The red is like Jesus is speaking this. Praise the Lord. See, He fills in. He gives all the good fill-ins. Amen. Are you feeling it? Galatians 6:7. Talking about that time between when the promise, when the seed is there, and then the process, that time, but then the harvest, it's there. It's waiting on you. Amen? Amen. Wherever God's called you to go, the blessing is there. It's in you, but I'm talking about whatever God's called you to do, whether it be pastoring, whether it be this, whether it be that, whether it be serving in the military, whatever God's called you to do. Be not deceived, Galatians 6:7. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Abraham, I've called you. Now you call you a father of a multitude. God called me to minister his word. I had to see myself ministering the word. And I did. I actually saw myself in a dream. But then that wasn't enough. I had to keep seeing myself, keep reading, keep thanking God, but then serving, humbly serving. Man, he called me to preach. He's called me to change the toilet in the men's bathroom. Serving, amen, humbly. Yes, sir, I'll do that. Teach the children Sunday school. Oh, Jesus. I'll do that. I'll do that. Yes, I'll help. See, I saw myself preaching like in the Cowboy in Texas Stadium, you know. That vision, man, people coming out by the crowds and cheering me on. Clean the men's toilet? You sure? I thought God called me to minister his word. That's where you start. So are you faithful over that little thing? And then God brings you on up. He says, yes, he was. And you just continue to walk, continue to grow up, go up that ladder. Not the way the world, you step on somebody to get up there. No, you bless somebody to go up. Amen? That's the way the kingdom works. Take care of somebody else's vision. Then God will take care of your vision. Help somebody. That was Abraham. I told you I was going to show you two examples. What about Jesus? We can't leave Jesus out of two, can we? And not that I didn't want to talk about him first, but I want you to see the Old Testament, because we got a better covenant. Abraham, I thank you, God. Thank you, Abraham, for being a man of faith and having a child in your old age. Thank you, Abraham. But sorry, Abraham, I need to see Jesus. I need to talk to Jesus a little bit now. You know, when I get to heaven, you know, I'm going to see Abraham. I'm going to see Noah. I'm going to see my mom, Paul Burke. Talking about my family now. And I'm going to taste some of Paul's rice and milk with my mama's gravy. See, this is how you bring people out of depression and give them hope. It's when mom's getting old. She's 82, and I know she, Lord Terry, she's going to get to heaven before I am. But as I'm sitting out there talking to her about things, I think, Mom, what's up? What's one thing when you get to, what's one thing down here from your parents that you miss? Papa, she missed, he always had a pot of rice. They didn't have a lot. I mean, they were okay, but they didn't have the iPhone 6 and, you know, they come through hard times. They came through growing your own potatoes and your own green beans and going down to the garden and getting them and putting them in the basement and letting them dry out. You know, what they had, they were thankful for what they had. I mean, they worked for it. Sweat. He liked gravy with milk and butter. But then mama said, I miss mama's gravy. And I thought, yeah, you get papa's rice and mama's gravy. Boy, that's going to be real good. But see, that's giving her some expectancy. I'm going to see mama again. But that's okay, but I want to see Jesus. Thank you. I didn't know you, Uncle Fred. I got a John up there that actually had his own grocery store up toward the mountains, Uncle John. Hey, Uncle John, spend some time with him. But I got to see Jesus, Uncle John. Get me out of here. Jesus, because that's my Lord. That's my Savior. Man, he changed my life. He loved me when nobody else did. Jesus. So we got to talk about Jesus here. And then we'll do what Jesus did a lot. He went around and had fellowship. He went from house to house breaking bread. Amen. And fellowshipping. And then he would go heal some sick folk. And open the eyes of the blind. Man, that's what happened when you hung around Jesus. Amen. He was looking for sick folk. Amen. Wanting them to be healed. And all they got to do is come. What do you want? Lord, I might receive my sight. Receive your sight. Might be blessed. Eyes be opened up. John chapter 11. Two great examples in the Word of God that demonstrates the character and the true nature of our Father God. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen my Father. So if you want to see the Father God, take people to the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Read them. Read them again. Read them again. And you'll start seeing Jesus. You'll start seeing the Father working hand in hand. Then read the Old Testament and you'll see the picture coming together. Man, that was Jesus. They were talking about Jesus. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. What did I tell you what chapter? That's because I ain't got there yet. I got to get ahead of you. John chapter 11. We're talking about it's your time. It's your time, but you got a part to play. If you don't have a watch and you want to know what time it is, how do you know what time? How do you know it's your time? You better be asking somebody that's got a watch. God's got your plan. Amen. If you don't know where you're supposed to be, you need to be asking him, Lord, am I supposed to be there or am I not supposed to be there, Lord? And what time am I supposed to be there? If he says, you're supposed to be in church at 10, this 11, you're late. Amen. Right? So you better hurry up. Lord, translate me. Because you want to be exactly where God needs you to be. See, if you love to play chess, you're that piece of the puzzle that God's trying to get somebody in checkmate. They're always trying to get away from God, but he's trying to get them in checkmate. He wants them where they can't move anymore. They're trying to move away from God, run away from God, and all the time he's trying to get them in the corner. He's trying to get, checkmate, gotcha. He's trying to get his arms around them and love them. Amen? And see, you got to know the game. You got to know the right move to make to get them in checkmate. The Holy Ghost knows the right move we need to make to get somebody into the kingdom. Amen. He knows exactly what we need to say. Sometimes we don't need to say nothing. We just need to be there and give them a hug. And just stay there till they say, I got what I need. Amen. Amen. Then you're free to go to the next place. So knowing your time in John chapter 11. I'm going to read this. I did have a chapter. I had a 44, but it's verse 44. John chapter 11, 1 through 44. I'm going to read, and we'll see how far we get. That's almost a whole chapter, ain't it, Pastor? Good God. Pastor read two chapters in the Bible this morning at church in under an hour. Praise the Lord. It says, now a certain man, and this is a famous story about Lazarus, but it's talking about Jesus. We're talking about Jesus. There was a certain man who was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. Remember Mary and Martha? Serving Jesus. And it was that Mary who anointed the Lord with that fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair. We're talking about somebody serving somebody now. Whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore the sister sent to him saying, Lord, behold, him who you love is sick. Jesus is out preaching. He's on a faith revival. Got a faith seminar going out over here somewhere. He's 2 days' journeys out. I don't know if that's walking or riding a donkey, but that's a good ways. That ain't getting in the car doing 60 mile an hour. That's about Maiden. That might be about Maiden walking, Harold, where Peggy and Harold from. That's about 2 days walking. When Jesus heard that Lazarus was sick, he said, this sickness, what did he say? There's a time here, but he's saying something. This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Jesus is telling the story before the story. He's the Alpha and Omega, right? He's got authority to do that. He is the end and the beginning. See, God always tells the ending from the beginning. Amen. That's what we got to do. We got to imitate God as dear children. That's right. What do you want for Christmas? You better tell mom and daddy, because Santa Claus can't hear that good. Amen. Now, all the kids ain't in here, so I'm not going to get myself. I better be quiet. Sarah, I'm sorry, Sarah, Eddie. Y'all might have to work on this story a little bit. They got too loud. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister, and Lazarus. He loves everybody, right? So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he got on his horse and he said, let's go, boys. Lazarus, he's sick. We got to get there. Oh, that ain't what it said. They got up on there. Oh, sorry. What did it say? They ain't with me, are they? Oh, I'm sorry, they are. 2 more days? 2 more days? Man, if I call the pastor, he going to come see me 2 more days after I call him? I don't know. It depends on what Jesus says do. Come on, help me. Help me now. Depends on what Jesus says do. He knows how sick you are. I mean, he's not wanting you to suffer more, but he knows when you're in faith and when you ain't. You can have faith when you're dead. I remember reading an Old Testament prophet who died in faith and his bones were anointed. Man fell on him in the grave and that was dead and rose from the dead. Amen. Praise the Lord. So when he heard that he was sick, Jesus stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. Why? Father said, stay. Jesus didn't stay there just twiddling his thumb, crying, weeping about. No, he was ministering to the other sick folk. Amen. He was ministering to other sick folk, preaching the gospel, good news, the healer's here. After this, he said to the disciples, after the 2 days, let us go to Judea again. I bet the disciples are like, I'm glad you're ready to go. I mean, you heard this 2 days ago. They're probably like, when are we going to go? And all the time they're watching. Now, I can't say that. I'm thinking hypothetical here. The disciples said, Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone you in Judea. And you're going to go there again? Disciples, you know, they're pretty smart here. They're stoning you, Jesus. They're wanting to stone you. Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours? Jesus knew what? The time. He knew how much time he had. Are there not 12 hours? He's the maker of time. In the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light. Say light. Of this world. That's my God. That's Jesus. But if one walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. Those ones that's got the rocks, they ain't got no light. Jesus is the light of the world. It's not his time to go to the cross. He ain't fear no man. See, the fear of man, the Bible says, brings a snare. Jesus wasn't going to stumble. He wasn't going to get caught in no snare. He is the light of the world. These things he said, and after that he said to them, and our friend Lazarus, he ain't forgot about Lazarus. He sleeps, but I go that I may wake him. Wake him up. And then his disciple says, Lord, if he sleeps, hey, that's good. I like to sleep a little bit later on Saturday. Lazarus is sleeping, Lord, he's resting. Jesus spoke about his death. And they thought that he was speaking about him taking rest in sleep. And Jesus said to them plainly, don't you want Jesus just to tell you, Lord, tell me like it is. Sometimes you do, sometimes you don't. Because God knows it all, right? Amen. Tell us plainly, Lord. He says, Lazarus is dead. And Jesus probably wasn't smiling because he don't like death. He came to destroy him that had the power of death. That's the devil, right? He don't like, when he hears death, Jesus ain't happy about it. He's dead, disciples. He's dead. And I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there. See, Jesus said, I'm glad for your sakes that I wasn't there. That you may believe. See, your life ain't about you. It's about others. Jesus is always thinking about others. They wanted him to go 2 days ago. He said, I think for my sakes that I wasn't there 2 days ago. So that you may believe. We're getting on into the story. Nevertheless, let us go. And Thomas, the twin, who's called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may go die with him. He don't have no understanding of what's going on, do we? So when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for how many days? 4 days, guys. He's not smelling too good. I've got some animals we've had to bury out in the backyard. A couple days, they ain't smelling too good. You don't want to go in there and dig, mess around that ground, right? They want it to decompose and then the smell goes away. Now, Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away. And many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary was still in the house. Still in the house. And Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you'd been here, and this is not giving respect to Jesus. Lord, if he'd been here, you know Lazarus wouldn't, because she sent for him 2 days ago, right? Kind of, we got to watch how we don't judge what the Lord says do. Amen, because he knows the best. Father knows best, right? Lord, if you would have been here, my brother wouldn't have not have died. But, she still, it's kind of like Peter, but, always got to add too, you know. But, we still got, I know that whatever you ask God, He will give you. See, Martha still got faith in Jesus. She just can't understand what's happening here. And that's where a lot of people, when somebody dies, sometimes we're asking, why? What's going on here, Lord? God knows what happened. We don't. But if we keep seeking, He'll show us things, but we've got to trust Him. We've got to trust Him because we're not God, and we can't handle some things that only He knows, right? But He'll show us because He wants to help others from going down. Amen? This was a sickness. This wasn't an attack. From a physical attack, this was a sickness. Martha said, and Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Faith speaking there, brother, right? Jesus said, your brother will rise again. And Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again, Lord, in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die or she may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Asking Martha, do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ. See, she really didn't say, I believe you're the resurrection and the dead. She says, I believe you're the Messiah. That's okay. Jesus is still working with us, right? Because he's going to show something. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world. And when she had said these things, she went her way and secretly called Mary, her sister, saying, the teacher has come and is calling. Say calling. Calling for you. Remember that old song, we bring them to the altar. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. Calling for you and for me. Is that how it goes? Old sinner, come home. Come home to grace. Get out of that sin and come home to Daddy's house. He's calling. He's always calling. She was calling for Mary. Jesus was calling for Mary. I lost my place. Where am I, guys? 29. As soon as she heard that, Mary rose quickly and came to him. Swiftly, when God called. See how Mary jumped up? She waited for Jesus to call. She didn't go out to meet him with, Lord, if you'd have been here. No, she is waiting on Jesus. Man, she's praying. She's been praying for her brother. She knows something good is going to happen because she knows Jesus is still alive. Amen. He's still on the earth. And when Jesus called, she left swiftly and went to him. And Jesus had not yet come into town, but was in the place where Martha had met him. And the Jews who were with her in the house and comforting her, when they saw that Mary rose up quickly and went out, they followed her, saying, she is going to the tomb to weep. See, when you're the mourning, the mourners, the family's there to mourn with you. They're crying, they're weeping. They're sharing this grief together. And when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet. And I see worship here. Worship. She's wanting an answer. She didn't go to Jesus complaining about Lord telling Jesus what he needed to do. She came and knelt down at his feet. Amen. Saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit. Now, this is a type of intercession. See, Jesus was touched with all of our infirmities that we feel. He's touched with this weeping and with this mourning and with the death. Jesus was touched with this, but he was going into intercession. See, he ain't saying nothing. He's groaning. He's praying. He knows what he's already said. What's he doing, Lewis? He's putting a guard over his lips. See, he's touched with all these emotions. And he said, where have you laid him? He's getting that boldness is coming now. Where have you laid him? And they said, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. And the Jews said, see how he loved him. Oh, stick around. There's more to come. See how he's crying. Now, wait a minute. He's going to quit crying. That mourning is going to turn into joy. Amen. Weeping shall endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning when you get Jesus. Jesus is the joy of Christmas. When Jesus comes in your life, I'm not saying you're not going to go through some weeping, but you know you got some joy. Somebody's getting ready to be born again. Somebody's just being sick, getting ready to be healed. Amen? When you're in faith and you believe that he is the answer, say yes to Jesus. Amen? And some of them said, could not this man, that's not faith, that's unbelief, could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind also kept this man from dying? And Jesus, again, that's a good time to groan because you want to say something right there, ain't you? Oh, you'd love to say something to that person that said, could not this man? See, that's pride. Jesus is not just a man. Amen. He is God, man with God's plan. Jesus, again, groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave and a stone laid against it. Now, there's getting ready to be a stone being rolled away, but it ain't the rolling stones you're thinking of. They played some music, but Jesus, they can't hang to the rolling stones, can't do nothing with Jesus, can they? Jesus, again, groaning himself, came to that tomb, and Jesus said, take away the stone, roll it away, the rolling stones. Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, Lord, did you not hear me? By this time, he's not smelling good. He's been dead 4 days, Jesus. Jesus said to her, did I not say, this is a good rebuke, did I not say to you that you, if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? What is the glory of God? It's the goodness of God. If your brother's dead and he's a friend with Jesus and Jesus is still alive, it ain't time to die. It's time to live. Amen. It's time to live. Glory to God. And they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes. Where's your help come from? Lift up your eyes. That's where your help comes from. Now, you can lift up and give thanks to God, but know this too, the kingdom of God is within you. Because a lot of times when we pray, we bow our head, we're listening to God. Amen? We're listening and we're learning. Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you. I thank you that you have heard me. And I know that you always hear me, but because of the people who are standing by, Jesus said this. He didn't have to say it. Jesus didn't have to say what he believed. He knew what he believed. But he said it for their benefit, for our benefit. Amen? Father, in other words, he's talking to somebody you can't see with your natural eyes. And he's looking up because that's where God reigns. Amen? From heaven above, not from hell beneath. Amen? Or not from this earth. And when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice. Jesus wasn't just a mediocre preacher. Lazarus, come forth. Why? There's joy in Jesus. And he just released the joy of life. I can see Lazarus coming out. He's wrapped, mummified, just like Jesus was. They rolled the stone away, but I see the power of God just translating him, just lifting him out. Because Jesus said, now loose him and let him go. Amen. Let him go. Because Jesus is the resurrection and he is the life. Lazarus, come forth. And he said, loose him and let him go. And then many of the Jews who had came to Mary and had seen the things Jesus did, what happened? They believed. Everything Jesus did, the signs are for you to believe he is who he is. He is who he is. And he can do what he said he can do. He is the only Son of God. The Son. We're sons, but he's the only Son that came and walked a sinless life here on this earth and demonstrated, say demonstrated, the power of God in this earth. Amen. Jesus is still alive and he's got kings and priests. I'm looking at you now. I'm looking at kings and priests out here that are here to do the mighty works of God and to demonstrate with signs and wonders following. Let Jesus live big to you this Christmas season. As you have your Christmas time with your families, if something, let me get right here. Jesus, this is my note. See, all that was God speaking to you. This is something he gave me personally. I won't speak it to you. Jesus, the master, he's my master. Lazarus' friend and also his Lord and Savior. See, not only was Jesus his friend, Lazarus was his friend, that was his Lord and Savior. Said with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. In other words, it's your time. Amen. It's your time to shine for Jesus. It's your time to be the light in the dark places. Cynthia, you've been there. You've been shining. Shine bigger. So I think about those three wise, not there wasn't three wise men. It was wise men. We can't put a number on it. Because they brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They saw a sign. They saw a star. This one was different, Leo. This one was big. It was a strange. It was a sign. I think it was one that was close to earth that they could see it, and they kept following it. Because God had a purpose and a plan. See, they were interested in that. They'd been studying Daniel's prophecy. Now it was time for Jesus to come. And Jesus needed some money in the future. Mom and daddy needed some money to raise him, to feed him. But there was a ministry. There was something bigger than Joseph and Mary. It was God's son to proclaim the kingdom of God here on this earth. And it takes money. It took money for Jesus to take 12 disciples and their families and feed them and go about preaching and teaching the kingdom of God. So God sent some gold and frankincense and myrrh, sent gifts to his son and called men to do it. And they were looking for a sign, and it showed up. Amen. God saw me looking for him, crying out to him, calling out to him, and he was there. He showed up. He shined his star, his life in my heart. Took me out of darkness and brought me into light. It's your time. Jesus was calling Lazarus forth. It's your time, Lazarus. You're my friend. Think about Lazarus. He's the only one around Jesus. Well, no, Jesus did raise some others from the dead. He raised him from the dead 4 days, though. He was dead. He was stinking. He's the only one that had that testimony. Lazarus had a testimony. Hey, guys, I got proof. There was people that smelled my dead body. But that didn't stop Jesus from calling me forth. What do you think you've done in your life that there's no way God can use me? Are you 4 days stinking? Come on, that's a good time. No. Are you 4 days stinking? God can still use you. Amen. 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 He's calling you forth. Where you missed it. He ain't looking at that. He's done rolled away the stone. Amen. Amen. Jesus died for the Rolling Stones. He died for Elvis Presley. He died for everybody that would come into this earth that was famous. That was the gift God gave them, whether it be playing a drum, singing a song. It came from God. Now, if people recognize it and submitted their life to it, that's different. But the gift, he did not take that gift from anybody. He left it up to you, to me, to take that gift that he gave, gifts he's given you, and operate in them. Amen, because it's for other people. I love Harold and Peggy. They were sent by God from over here. They've been singing and blessing us with song. But it's more than that. There's more than that that's on the inside of them. And everybody in this church, what's God calling you to do? Bring it to the pastor. Let's sit down. Let's talk about it. Let us reason together. God's got something for all of us to do. And we'll put a plan in operation. We'll get it done. Amen. Because he's called each and every one of us to help somebody. He's calling you forth. All you got to do. Lazarus was dead, but he was God's friend. He'd already put his words in the earth. He trusted and believed in Jesus. And Jesus answered those prayers. Even while he was dead and couldn't say anything, Jesus called those words forth. He called in the harvest. Amen. Even when Lazarus couldn't speak, Jesus spoke for him. Get up, boy. Get out of that cave. We got work to do. We got more people to go heal. Preach the gospel to. Jesus needed help. He said, "Devil ain't putting my help in the ground. Get up, boy." He had a little bit longer to be here on the earth. And I don't know how much longer Lazarus lived. But I tell you what, nobody had a testimony like that boy had. Man. And I can see him right now winning people to Jesus. Calling those things that be not as though they are. Amen. If you're here in this place, everybody just bow your head, looking to the kingdom. See, we're bowing our head, but we're bound to the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. This is going on radio, internet radio. If you're in this place and you haven't said yes to Jesus and you want to, just let me know by hand. Yeah, Pastor, God's calling me forth. If you're by radio, if God's calling you forth, you're hearing this message, all you got to do is say, "Yes, Lord, I believe. I believe that you are God's son and I want to come in. I want to come to Daddy's house," and all you got to do is believe in Jesus, confess him as your Lord, and you shall be. I didn't say confess your sin. I said confess Jesus as your Lord, and you will be saved from your sins, plural, and you won't be separated from God. And if you said that and believed that in your heart, you're born again. Now I'd ask you, get into a good church. Word of Faith Worship Center is a good church. We're here to pray for you, to feed you, to fellowship with you, to teach you the Word of God. But also, if there's anybody in this church that has not spoken tongues, has not been baptized in the Holy Ghost with power, now's your time. God's calling you forth. Come, let us pray for you. We'd love for you to be filled with the Spirit and overflowing and speaking in your heavenly language and raising people from the dead. The Bible says these signs shall follow those that believe. They shall speak with tongues, other tongues, and they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. That's you. If you've been born again, if you hadn't received that gift, if you're here and you want to be, for us to agree with you, Jesus is calling. And if you're out there and you're not here at this church, all you got to do, Jesus is the one that baptizes you in the Holy Ghost. You got to say, Lord, here I am. I want to speak in tongues. I want to operate in the gifts. I want to operate in what you've called me to do. Let Jesus baptize you. All you do is call, and he is the baptizer. And then you speak in your heavenly language. You loose your tongue to Jesus. You just yield your tongue, and you'll speak in a language of tongues of men or tongues of angels. And it's for your benefit to build yourself up and to go out here and take on the gates of hell. Destroy the work of the devil.